Getting into college nowadays is a completely different animal than when I went to school, you know, just a few years ago. There are so many things that a student has to do in order to get into college, from picking the right classes, getting the right GPA, writing an essay, having leadership opportunities, doing volunteer work, all while having fun during their high school years. And so this could put a lot of stress on the student as well as the parent while they figure out the financial stuff, which school to go to. So the guest I'm having today, she's amazing. She has this amazing business where she helps support the student and the parents as they navigate through this kind of overwhelm. They figured it out. And I'm excited for you to listen to what she has to say, because it gave me hope that this can be an easier time, an easier way to get into college. Hi, I'm Wendy Bergen. I'm just a regular mom with a husband, a bunch of kids, and some dogs. And I'm the founder of Joyfully Prepared, a business dedicated to teaching busy moms skills like gardening, food preservation, natural remedies, and more, so they can take care of themselves through developing talents, supporting their families with confidence, and saving money. I've rolled down the mountain of accomplishment so many times that I have skinned knees, grass in my teeth, and sticks in my hair. All of these mistakes have actually allowed me to become more confident in my knowledge and skills. I'm eager to learn and strive to create a space where people want to learn. Oh, I'm not perfect. In fact, someone once described me as the queen of preparedness, but normal, without scaring people. Whether it's canning, gardening, emergency preparedness, or anything else, I teach others to feel confident in learning it. Hi, this is the Joyfully Prepared podcast, and I'm your host, Wendy Bergen, and I am really excited to introduce you to my guest, Shelly Howard of College Ready, and she's going to speak about all things college, but I'm going to let her do the talking and introduce herself.
Thank you so much, Wendy, for having me, and thank you, listeners. I typically talk to families with middle and high schoolers. So if you are one of those moms or dads in that world, I am here to give you a fire hose of awesome information. College Ready was started 17 years ago. We're actually on our 18th year. And it all started when my firstborn came home from middle school and he said, "Mom, I know exactly what I want to do when I get out of high school." And I'm like, "You're not even in high school yet." He's like, "Yeah, but I want to be a brain surgeon and I want to go to one of those top colleges." And I was like, "Okay." And I just kind of smiled and I, you know, I was like, "We'll figure it out." So I went back to school and I got my master's degree and then I became an independent certified college strategist. And since then, that young man went to Harvard 4 years for free, went on to UC San Diego Medical School and is now an orthopedic surgeon at UCLA, and he has no debt. Wow. So he was my why, but after doing it 17 years, I've been doing it with other people's children and my own. I have 2 boys and 2 girls, and all of them will graduate debt-free.
Wow.
So that is amazing. My world.
That is amazing. So he wanted to go to Harvard or a very prestigious school in order to become a brain surgeon, correct?
Correct.
And he did that. And you knew that however many years, well, he was in middle school. So you had what, 5, 6 years, something like that to get ready?
I had 4 years. So okay. He came home in spring of middle school. So we had the summer going into his freshman year, which is usually the most underutilized summer. Mm-hmm. Kids don't have much to do. And then we started applying. He started applying the beginning of his senior year. So it was a true 3-year solid plan.
Right.
And I did it on top of my full-time career. It took me about 30 hours a week to support him.
Wow. That was a full-time job.
It was on top of my other full-time job.
Oh, what a good mom you are. How wonderful that is. So when you were starting this journey with your son, He had to be committed to this journey as well. How did you help him with that?
Well, for all those listeners out there who have multiple children, they're not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
My firstborn was the easy one all the way through and through. And he was a pleaser. And so I suggested and he did. And gotcha. Didn't really put up too much of a fight. And so it wasn't really all that challenging. Keep in mind, he's also a very gifted learner. He is mm-hmm. a photographic memory. So for him, when I told him you need 6 AP classes, he didn't say, but I don't want to. He's just like, all right.
Okay.
Because I have 3 other children, I know that that is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And not every child comes with that situation, right. which is super easy to parent. And right. so I just built him a standout strategy. He did the work and, you know, he received a lot of scholarships because of his hard work.
Good for him. That's wonderful. So when you started, he says, I want to do this. And you're like, okay, we're going to put together a plan. How did you start to figure out what the plan needed to be?
So because I am an entrepreneur by heart and soul, I basically built him a business. And so I thought about what is the end? And the end was he wanted to go to an Ivy League university. Stanford and Harvard were his top two. So I reverse engineered it. And I started looking at what does it take to get into Stanford and Harvard of the world? And then I built a program and a plan to help him uniquely stand out with his own gifts and talents, which is similar to how we would launch a podcast or how we would build a business, right? You think about what is the problem I'm going to solve? In his case, the problem was, how do I get in there? How do I stand out? And how do I do well once I get there? So right. it was as simple as making sure he was doing the very best he could and challenging himself every step along the way and building his resume and his opportunities. I tell families all the time, college admissions is a business. And if you think for 1 minute they are not impressed by a very well thought out resume, that's where the money comes from. Mm-hmm. It's like if you have a child who's never had a job and they're like, please, 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 can I work for you? And you're like, okay, but I'm going to pay you minimum wage because you have no experience. But if you have a child who has this awesome resume and they can say, I can double your productivity, you're going to double their salary. And that's what we're trying to help families understand is, mm-hmm. being the best version of themselves is going to help them stand out. And that's when money gets thrown at them. Mm-hmm. So it's really reverse engineering what that student wants from their future.
And when you say money thrown at them, you mean that mostly in scholarships, is that correct?
Well, there's different buckets of money, right? Okay. Picking the right college is the first way to a debt-free degree.
Okay.
Making sure that that student is absolutely going to excel at that school, because that school is going to give institutional scholarships. Then there's the other bucket of money, which is the independent scholarships. It may be that student is a vegan, and right now they're offering a scholarship for a $10,000 scholarship if you're a vegan. People still need to know there's a lot of scholarships for doing a lot of crazy things. And then finally, understanding how to complete the FAFSA, because 91% of families do it wrong.
Right.
And if you do it wrong, they're going to stop you from the money that is well deserved. And so it really comes down to helping the child stand out on their resume, putting them in the right position to get the big scholarships, and then having your assets and your financial house in order so that child can take advantage of all that free money.
That's amazing that you have figured all that out. Like, that's like another language. It really is. It's a completely, you know, when I went to college, I don't know, I'm not going to like completely, well, I'm just 30 years ago, at least, I don't know, maybe it's longer now, but we didn't do any of that stuff. I mean, we had to write our little essay and we had to, some extracurriculars and maybe a volunteer, but not any, even that wasn't necessary 30 plus years ago when I went to school. Nowadays, you're right. You really are building a business in regards. And when are you starting? Do you recommend parents starting in their senior year? I wouldn't think so. I would think you'd want parents to learn about you so that you can help them as the child's moving through high school.
And that's a very important question. And because, listeners, you have your own children, what's a good time to start with one of them is not a good time to start with another of them. Mm-hmm. So think about it this way. When your child is ready to go to a museum and show curiosity, they're mature enough to be in a museum.
Right.
When your child walks onto a college campus and they're like, wow, this place looks amazing. What do you even do here? Why would I want to come here? When they start to ask those intellectual questions of how is this going to help my future? Mm-hmm. That's when you start. Ultimately, the best time to start is when your student is in their spring semester of their eighth grade year because they haven't made any mistakes.
Right.
Because picking the very first classes in high school is going to set the stage for all other classes. So if your student is taking all simple classes, they're not going to be able to go to an Ivy League school. They are on the wrong path. And so helping families understand that the child needs to be have rigor and have challenge, but not to the point that's stressing them out.
Right.
You know, it's keeping them intellectually challenged, which is going to help them be a great adult, but not burying them in a ton of rigor that they can't handle.
Right.
So we help the family by stepping in and being that mentor, that coach, that strategist that says, hey, if your child is really good at math, why would you not want to keep them challenged in math? That's the struggle. If you just let them do the very minimum they can do, they're not going to be challenged and they're not going to learn as much as they possibly can.
That's true.
So to answer your question, it really is, in our opinion, the big scholarships come when we start students in eighth grade, ninth grade, and 10th grade. Because the FAFSA looks at the second semester of the sophomore year and the first semester of the junior year.
Okay.
Why is that important? Because if you wait and get your financial house in order your senior year, it's like thinking about retiring and saving for retirement in the same year. It doesn't work like that. You need time to let that money compound, to let that money really work for you. And that is the benefit. So, I mean, there's so many. Nowadays, colleges want students to pick their major when they apply.
Oh.
Well, if you're not talking to your child about what their gifts, talents, strengths, and advocacy are, how are they ever going to be able to pick a major?
True. Yeah. What?
So when we start, that's how it helps.
That makes perfect sense. How do you, let's say I come to you, my child's in the spring of eighth grade, and I come to you, I'm like, okay, we have no idea what we're doing. How do you walk us through your program or your process?
So the first thing we do is we do a discovery call. It's complimentary, and it's a chance for me to get to meet the student. We don't take every student. Because if they don't want to do the work, we will not take your money.
Okay.
That's just our bottom line. We do this because we want your child to be successful. But if they're sitting on the other side of the camera and saying, I don't want to do any of this, that's not a good fit. So as soon as we understand that the student is like, I have no idea how to start this, but I see the value of figuring this out. And so depending on their age, if they're in eighth grade, we have to start with their core values. We have to start with their gifts and their talents and their advocacy and who they are. If they're a junior, they have a pretty good clarity about I'm good at X, Y, and Z, and I'm not so great at you know, the other stuff.
Right.
So it depends on when they come into the program. But what it looks like is we have, it's called the Vault. And I've built this custom password protected portal that has my 17 years of intellectual property that can show a student the GPA they need to get into school A, the test scores, the leadership, the extracurriculars, the letters of recommendation, the essays. We show them everything at the beginning, and then we put together their own strategy on timing of when they're going to hit all the major milestones. So all they have to do is work with us to get them where they want to go. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to create it. They don't have to Google it and hope they Googled the right thing. They have all of the information at their fingertips, and they have somebody to explain who, what, where, when, how, why, and what. And that's what they need to know in order to be successful.
So what I'm hearing you say too is I would assume you're going to have friction between child and parent regardless, because we grow up and we're all growing up at the same time. But I would think that with you playing a role in this particular journey, there's probably a little less stress when it comes to the child figuring this stuff out, the parent telling the child you need to be doing this, because you're in there.
A perfect example of that is community service. All community service is good. There's none that's not good.
Right.
But when a parent thinks about community service, they think, I would like to go and feed the homeless. Mm-hmm. Well, the child may be terrified of the homeless. And so that's going to be put on the boxing gloves, because the child's like, no, I don't have time to do that. What they're saying is, I don't want to do that. But when I help them figure out their passions, their gifts, their talents, their advocacy, and I'm like, so your number one passion is soccer. Mm-hmm. Great. How can we tie in your passion for soccer and your advocacy for human trafficking and build a passion with purpose project?
Mm.
The student's like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. I would love to do that. And the parent's like, oh. And yeah, that is the hardest thing, right? Because you know your child so well, but you don't know how to build a passion project that they're going to love. And it goes on and on. It's picking the right essay topic. It's applying to the right schools. So I always tell families, you know, enjoy the last few years of them at home and let us guide them, inspire them, critique them, and help them to get their dream while you're giving high fives and hugs and you're not having a battle at home. Do your chores, do your homework, and do your essays.
Right. How often do you meet with the family, the student? How often are you doing that?
So with their Passion with Purpose project, we meet weekly with their the 12 most important things to get into college. We meet once a month. And then we meet consistently on three things they're working on. So there's a lot of touch points, but it just depends. If they're a freshman, we can't be as aggressive because we're going to freak them out.
Right.
If they're a senior and we're working on college applications, we have to see them more often.
Gotcha.
And so it really comes down to, when a student comes in, how far behind are they? Do they have a Passion with Purpose project? Do they have 200 service hours? Do they have leadership and extracurriculars? If they don't, they're going to be far behind very quickly. And so we need to catch them up and then help them to balance out. I see. It really depends on where the student and the family's at and how far behind they are.
Right. That I love this. Good for you. I'm so happy that you're doing this for families. It's great.
Oh, I love my career. I cannot imagine doing anything more enjoyable, because we're helping teenagers be the best version of them.
Yeah.
College is a stepping stone. It's not the end game.
I would think too, I'm just processing through this, because I think this is amazing. The transition from being a 14-year-old, a 13, 14-year-old to an 18-year-old to going into college, those are huge years. Those are some of the most important years teenagers have. And parents, they're learning how to be an adult, but they don't really want to be an adult because being an adult is hard. It's not, I don't really like being an adult most of the time. I'd really not grow up. No, I just really would rather people do all the work that I don't want to do. So like I have an 18-year-old right now, and I see her, part of her wants to be the adult with all the fun stuff, but the other part, she still wants to be the little girl. And that's completely normal. And the teenagers have so much they're working on. They're trying to get through school. They have boyfriend, girlfriend issues. They have friend issues. There's all sorts of cultural things going on. Then they're trying to interact with their parents, and their parents are still trying to grow up most of the time. And the parents don't know really what they should be doing. And so there could be a lot of friction and unhappiness. So I really see what you're providing, your service is to really smooth at least one aspect out. But I can see where you would have a really lovely relationship with the teenager, with the student, and with the family. And that's got to just be such a wonderful blessing to all the parties involved.
I call it a win-win-win. It's mm-hmm. a win for the teenager, it's a win for the parent, and it's a win for us to be able to support them through this process. Because yeah. like you said, it could be a lot of frustration and yelling and disappointment. But like I tell the student, our only job is to get them what they want. So I have the best job ever. I don't mm-hmm. have to ask them to do chores. I don't have to ask them to eat the, you know, vegetables.
Right.
I'm like, tell me what you want and let me help you go get it. And yeah. so when they get in, they're like, Shelly, I just got into the University of Alabama. And I'm like, I'm so excited. When do we go? And they're aww. Like, oh yeah, you don't get to go. I'm sorry. So it is a time of celebration for sure, but yeah. we're also the one that helps them, you know, pick up the pieces and put it all together mm-hmm. when things aren't going as well as they would like. Maybe they applied for ASB president and didn't win the election. Mm-hmm. We're also there to help them know that's not going to ruin your chances of getting into college. We just got to figure out something else to fill that gap.
Right, right. And you probably have a list of those kinds of, okay, we didn't get this one, but we can pivot and go to this one, or you have a list of things that you can work with them to do.
Yeah, summer is a perfect example of that. Right now, summer programs are almost full, and most families haven't even thought about what their kid's going to be doing this summer.
Right.
And so we have to let families know there is no more time to think about it. It's time to apply for summer programs or at least put together a strategy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes with, I had no idea. I always say parents just don't know what they don't know.
Right.
Because if they did, there wouldn't be all of this stress and this overwhelm. College is not that hard to get into. Mm-hmm. It's just when families don't know what they need to do, they either bury their head in the sand and are like, I'm not going to talk about it. Or they're going to, you know, do their very best and make some mistakes.
Right.
That's how we help families understand. It's like, you could do your own taxes or you hire a CPA.
Right.
You can sell your own home or you hire a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. Getting into college is no longer a GPA and a test score.
Yeah.
It is really competitive and really expensive. And we want families to understand if you want to go into botany, you don't need to have a Stanford degree to do that.
Right. Right.
And that's they're true. Shocked. Like, what do you mean? I mean, Stanford's a great school. Don't get me wrong. But if that's all the dream is,
right,
that's not a good return on investment.
That's really so there's different aspects, because I can't think of the better word. So you have you're working with the child, the student, in his or her academics, like which classes to take while in high school. You're helping them with extracurriculars and ideas. You called it a passion project, but that would be the volunteer hours, correct? Are there any other pieces to that as well?
Yeah. So it's the GPA with rigor. So the academic plan, then it's the test plan. How many AP or IB or dual enrollment classes? How many tests do they need to take? Should they take the SAT or the ACT? So there's the whole testing piece. Then there's leadership. Colleges want to see students who lead others to create change, not sit in front of a computer and play games.
Right.
And then there's extracurriculars that are uniquely, genuinely the student's passion. Then there's how do I pick the best letters of recommendation, people to write those for me? And then finally, how do I know what to put in my essay? Wow, the college. So it takes all of that. And then sometimes it's even doing an interview. So I help them prepare for an online interview. Sometimes it's how do I pick the right colleges and how do I go on a college tour? So it's literally from the very first academic class all the way until financial negotiations and getting off the wait list and picking your college roommate. And how to move in and what you need to bring. So it really, we're with the student from the day they sign up until the day they leave for university.
Wow. That's so awesome. Like, I really feel how awesome that is because it's such a different landscape these days regarding college. And I really feel like what you offer is a necessity. And I think it's just wonderful. I know I just keep saying the same thing over again, but I wouldn't have known any of this. And to be able to have a service like yours to help my child, I see that. I try to be a grown adult. I don't always act that way, but I can get through my stuff and I'm smart enough that I could probably figure some of this out, but I still have the relationship with my child that I have to be concerned with. But the thought that I bring you in to work with my child so that he or she can make this huge transition, because going from living in a mom and dad's house to living on your own, that's a major transition, and that parents have to be concerned about teaching them the skills of survival, like how to do their laundry, how to make some, you know, toast. I don't know, you know, general tidiness and hygiene. And parents really, those are essential life skills that a child needs to have. But you come in and help the parent and the child succeed in getting to that next step. And I love that. I do. I love it.
Yeah, we do help both the parent and the student. One of my parents says that I'm her therapist because when she can't take another moment with her teenager, she'll call me and she's just like, I can't do this. I'm like, you're gonna be okay. And there's that reality of not every teenager wants to be parented. And a lot of the teenagers are like deer in headlights. They just don't know what to do, and their high school is not going to help them.
Right.
And they're trying to transition out of depending solely on their parent. And so we come in as a neutral party for the parent and the child that allows them both to have the biggest dreams they can have and the opportunity to know how to go and get them. And so it is a privilege. We take it very seriously, but we have a lot of fun doing it. And students, you know, it's we grow up with them.
Yeah.
And we help them to understand that they were meant for something bigger than what they even know is in front of them. And then we help them to start to navigate that.
That's wonderful. I have two questions, maybe a third. I don't know, but I know. One is an easy one. The first one is, will you explain what the FAFSA is?
For sure. So the FAFSA is a free government form. And what it is meant to do is help families understand, will you get any merit, need-based, or independent scholarships? It's the first thing. Think of it like a tax form, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to complete your tax form in order to get your refund. Well, the FAFSA is like that for college. And if you do not complete the FAFSA, you will not get the free money. Mm-hmm. Where most people will say, I'm not going to get any free money anyway. I'm middle class. I make too much. Da, 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 da.
Right.
What I tell families is, even if you want free money, you have to complete the FAFSA. If you don't complete the FAFSA and your child goes through maybe their freshman year, your situation changes, you're done. You can't complete the FAFSA the next year because you didn't do it their freshman year. So every one of your listeners should complete the FAFSA regardless of how much money you do or do not make.
Okay.
They already know your information. It connects to your taxes.
Right.
So you're not sharing the government one new drop of information.
Right, right. Good. Thank you for clarifying that for me, mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it before with a couple of my older kids, but I didn't realize that's what it all was. But and then my second question is, for those of us who have homeschooled our kids, how do you work with those children as well?
So there's, just like with any student, there's pros and cons to every type of education.
Right.
And with homeschoolers, the benefit is they have more time to do some really cool passion projects, and they have more time to maybe take on some, you know, leadership in their community, right? Because they're not stuck to that rigid schedule.
Right.
On the flip side, they may not have as much opportunity for understanding dual enrollment. Or how to take an AP exam, or so we fill in the gap, regardless if you're at a boarding school, a private school, a public school, homeschool, early graduate. We help students, every single one of them, because there's always going to be a challenge that you just don't know, that it's not in your radar.
Right.
We have a lot of homeschool families. And what I have learned is they're all just as uniquely different as our public school families. They have different wants, different needs, you know, the different kind of colleges they may want to go to. We even help families understand maybe trade school's part of their process. Maybe it's not college for every student. We have a program called See Our Future Now, where we start with 8 assessments. Help a student understand, what am I meant to do?
Yeah.
Like, why was I put on this earth, and how do I make money at it so someday I can start my own family or move out on my own or whatever that may be?
Right.
So we regardless of where the student goes to high school, we treat them as an individual teenager and help set them up for success, whatever that may look like.
Perfect. I think I need to take those tests myself. That's what I'm thinking over here. See what I want to grow up to be.
I think every adult thinks they should take some of these tests for sure.
We just didn't have stuff like that when I was growing up. You know, you just kind of went to college. You did your high school thing. You went to college. You kind of figured some of it out. I started off as a piano pedagogy major in college, and I didn't realize that you had to spend 3 or 4 hours a day in a practice room. And I was just too social for that. So I quit that major and went to communications. That's what I graduated in. And here I am, a podcaster.
Look at you now. Yeah, look at you now. I love it.
It's nice though that you're there to help them with these test assessments, whatever, helping them to learn how unique and wonderful and so special they are, especially at a critical time in their life when the world and culture is telling them they should be thinking this one way. But you are there to show them, no, the way you think, the way you do, it's perfect, just the way you are.
And letting them know that in this day and age is such an important thing. Because they're comparing themselves against the perfect of the perfect all over social media, all over the internet. And they feel silly that they don't know what they want to do. And mm-hmm. I'm here to tell them, you know, your parents probably don't know either, but they're faking it till they make it.
Right.
And why not learn now so you don't have to change your major, so you mm-hmm. don't have to transfer colleges, so you actually can be very strategic and have a return on investment of your education dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is how to make them successful. And the sooner we can do that, the easier it is on them personally.
Right. That, I think it's brilliant. I really do. I'm so glad that you have come on to talk about all that. This has been so educational for me to learn from you. And I'm just grateful that you figured your stuff out so that you could help so many people. So my question is, and the listeners would like to know where they can find out more information and how to find you.
So I have a best-selling book, How to Send Your Student to College Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. That you can find on Amazon. That's anywhere. My website is www.collegereadyplan.com. And we also have another website in case your child doesn't know what they want to do. And that's called CR Future Now. What we're trying to do is bring their future forward, have them look at it straight away and see if that is truly what they want to do. So we're all about empowering the child to make big decisions, but they need the tools, and that's where mm-hmm. we start.
Wonderful. Thank you. All of the links and more will be, like, all her socials, especially her website, and the link to her book will be in the show notes that you can find that. So, Shelley, thank you so much for being a guest and educating me and my listeners. This has been such a delightful time to spend with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Joyfully Prepared. I'm grateful for you and appreciate you inviting me into your life. Please subscribe and tell all your friends about this delightful podcast. Leaving a joyful review would earn you all sorts of karma points too. I invite you to join my free Facebook group at www.joyfulprepgroup.com and join with other like-minded mothers.